dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk, Shane Combs, Matt Combs, and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SBC fans, and welcome back to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk podcast show. I'm Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com, and before I welcome in my brother Matt and good friend Jeremy Ward, I wanted to kind of go through some craziness here in fall sports. I guess we'll get to golf. We obviously had a high All-Ohio finisher and some cross-country titles handed out this week, some volleyball postseason, some soccer postseason. But, you know, Matt and Jeremy, I wanted to open up with football here real quick because I guess if I were to put a headline on this past Friday night, we go from all over to all in it. And when I look at the Valero standings and I see Paint Valley Westfall Piketon out 3-1 as we've had some crazy finishes and crazy upsets Friday night. Adena Unio to Zane Trace at 2-2, and a Southeastern team that was showing great promise. All of a sudden now they find themselves at 1-3. And I guess the Pick'em contest illustrated this really well because it was almost funny to figure up. I wanted to go back and check my email to make sure that I was making it clear that everyone was supposed to pick the winners of the game because I continued to cross off Paint Valley, cross off Zane Trace, cross off even Southeastern. And we actually, out of all the people in that contest, a total of two correct picks ended up winning this past week. So that kind of gives you an idea right there. But guys, in all seriousness, when I look back to Friday night, I know, Jeremy, I'll start with you because you had sent me a text at one point asking me, is that score right? And I was laughing as I read it. And just kind of give me your reaction of as Friday night unfolded, all the different upsets and games going maybe the way we didn't think they would go going in.
Well, I have Windows open on my phone for WKKJ's site, for the Twitter feeds from, like, the Gazette, Facebook posts, and just whatever sources of information I can get because, you know, they're updated sporadically. You might have one game in the fourth quarter and one game where it's just a first quarter score. So I was just trying to text people and find what I could on the radio and kind of go back and forth. to see what was going on, and the first one that really caught my eye was Adena. That score, I wasn't sure that was correct. You know, then by the time all the finals rolled in, it was just that was a head scratcher to say the least.
Well, you make a good point because the Zane Trace Piketon game was one of those games where I was having trouble getting updates. Mm-hmm. And the majority of my updates I had as late as 9:30 still had Zane Trace up a couple scores. Well, obviously that thing got extremely exciting and Brewster hits Collier and they get down to the 2-point conversion. Coach Gallion decides down one to roll the dice and go for the win. And first play, Zane Trace thinks they won the game. Flag comes out, pass interference. And then Brewster from his quarterback spot there runs it in for the win. You know, Matt, as you were making your way back from way down at Meg's, I know you had the scoreboard show on. You talked to me on the phone a little bit, and you had followed some of the SBC scores throughout tonight. And as I was updating you, I know you were quite shocked. Give us a little bit of your feedback from this past week.
Well, you know, my initial reaction was like you guys, really surprised. But, you know, as I took a little time driving home to reflect on it, I thought, you know, I don't know that we should be real, real surprised. I think the Paint Valley thing surprising a little bit because I think we had all kind of, you know, felt like they were going to roll through and probably run the table. And, you know, I think it just goes to show you, I mean, anything can happen on a given night, obviously. You know, I think Paint Valley faced some adversity in that game and maybe being down a player or two in crucial spots and Westfall took advantage. But I think after the Paint Valley, I don't know that it should surprise us if anybody in this league beats anybody almost, especially 2-6. Yeah, right, Jeremy. I mean, 2-6, I mean, who couldn't beat who on a given night? And that just goes to prove it, what happened the other night.
Well, guys, let's move forward a little bit here. I mean, in the upcoming week, I see Piketon at Uniota, Paint Valley at Edina, Zane Trace at Huntington, Southeastern at Westfall. I'm peeking ahead to week 9, Westfall Zane Trace. That's a big one. Paint Valley Piketon the same week. So that's going to be a huge week. Zane Trace at Uniota in week 10. If you guys were going to put a headline on it, or maybe something that moving forward you're really intrigued by, Jeremy, what would that be? How can you make sense of all this moving forward now?
Well, I was kind of looking back to some of the past questions we've addressed on the show about the possibility of teams in the playoffs, possibility of teams with winning records. And, you know, the first thing that catches my mind and my eye when I was looking through some of the regional playoff computer points is that, you know, that was a big blow for Southeastern, who actually was sitting in a pretty decent spot in a difficult region. And who knows how that turns out. But you know, if they could have been able to win out, they were in a good spot to maybe sneak in a 7 or 8 seed. You know, and from Paint Valley standpoint, maybe they'll benefit from that. You know, everybody talking about an undefeated season, now they really got to, you know, bear down and prepare themselves for a strong finish and heading to a playoff run. Maybe it makes them better in the long run.
Sure. I mean, I guess when I look at Southeastern, it's the second time they've played a team that kind of really wanted to line up and play power, smash mouth football and take it right at them, and defensively gave up a pretty big number. But again, this is a Southeastern team that, when this happened earlier in the year, bounced back in the weeks to come. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of spoiler role that they could play. Matt, as you move forward here into the final 3 weeks of high school and hopefully week 11 for at least one SVC team, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I think in terms of this, you know, league title now, obviously it gets interesting. You've got three teams, you know, like you said, with one loss, and you've got some of those teams having to play each other still. And so a lot can happen. I'm interested to see how Paint Valley responds. Jeremy mentioned it just a minute ago. Do they use this as fuel to say, okay, where, you know, did we get complacent? Where did we go wrong? What do we need to do to get better? Is it something that hurts their confidence? And there's a carryover effect. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see really how they respond. As you know, the league favorite coming into the season, and now taking one on the chin, so to speak, and it's also going to be interesting to see, you know, those other teams that now have stuck their nose in it. You know, are they really contenders? Can they go out and win 2 or 3 straight football games? So there's a lot left to play for. Obviously, a lot of interesting football left, and you know, this is something odd for football because I think we talked about it in one of the earlier shows. Normally, whoever wins the league just wins all of them. You know, right. It's a gold ball, and very seldom do you have three teams sitting here week 7 tied for the, you know, tied for the league championship, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So
right.
It's going to make for an interesting final stretch here for football.
Well, guys, we certainly should learn from football that games are not played on paper, but the papers I am looking at here in front of me sure look good for a lot of SVC teams. Stay with us, and I'll explain. Well, fans, those papers I'm talking about are the Division II, Division III, and Division IV sectional volleyball brackets. And as we talked just briefly last week, there's a lot to like for the SVC. Next week, Jeremy and I will be calling a sectional title volleyball match. As of right now, we're hoping, as we assume Uniota will advance Wednesday night over Warren, we will be over at Uniota High School on Saturday the 19th. At 4 p.m., but we will actually be on the air. I'll have everything on the website where you can find the live feed there. We'll get started about 3:30. For those of you that have not heard us do one of our live games with basketball, we did Southeastern Sectional, and then we did a Zane Trace baseball game this past spring. We'll go on about 3:30, and throughout the game, we'll be doing a normal show with some topics, and then we'll obviously be giving the play-by-play of the action. You can hear that live, and you can also hear the podcast version of it, as it'll be able to be listened back to And that'll be up on the website all week, just like a normal show. But, you know, Jeremy, along that line, I just wanted to get your reaction. I know we really enjoyed the basketball and baseball, and this is something that a lot of SBC fans have kind of been pushing us to do a little bit more of. Just your reaction to calling a sectional title game next Saturday.
Well, I just wonder if the fans like to make fun of us or they really enjoy it.
Well, I know I do, but I can't speak for everybody.
But honestly, you know, with all the fanfare that that the SBC has garnered this year, I really hope our teams can live up to the expectations. You know, the D3 in particular just looks like it's there for the taking in each of the three district brackets. I really like our chances there in Paint Valley being a dark horse. And you know, the intriguing is going to be how well Zane Trace and Unioto can respond to the challenge of Division II. And that's, you know, we've talked about how brutal that is. And there hasn't been a lot of success, regardless of the sport, for SVC teams in Division II as far as the tournament goes. So I really look forward to seeing if they can, you know, rise to that occasion.
Matt, I wanted to throw you in here real quick because I thought you made an intriguing point last week that's really I was really thinking about over the weekend as Waverly had defeated Unioto in what sounds like a really good three-set Saturday afternoon match. That would be Unioto's sectional final opponent, assuming Unioto and Waverly hold serve in the first round. You'd made the comment about how as good as the SVC is, don't underestimate Division II. Don't underestimate right, that when you get with some bigger schools, even your middle of the pack to below average teams are going to have two, three special athletes that can still make some plays and do. Comment a little bit on what you were meaning by that. If you were giving the SVC something to look at in respect to what Zane Trace and Unioto are going to be up against.
Well, it just seems like in most of the sports, you know, basketball, volleyball, baseball, that you know, when you get into their Division II, teams are a little bit deeper. They maybe don't have quite the weaknesses and the holes, so to speak, that maybe what you'd run into early in a D3 tournament, especially if you were a high seed. You know, you might play a team with a 500 or even slightly below 500 record, but I think like in Unioto's case, for instance, do they play Warren in the first round? Do I remember
right.
that correctly?
Yes, yes.
Typically, I mean, Jeremy knows this from being from growing up down that way, is typically Warren, good or bad, throws some pretty good athletes at you.
Right. You know? Tough kids are used to winning.
Yeah, exactly. And they kind of have that culture of winning in their school, and so does Unioto. So it'll be a good matchup. But I do think sometimes people overlook how difficult and how much of a gauntlet it is, so to speak, in that Division II.
Well, guys, we had several volleyball emails. I've released my all-SVC volleyball team. It's out on the website now for you to look at. You'll see the link right there on the front page, and I've already had some pretty interesting feedback. I'll get to more of that on next week's show as Jeremy and I are utilizing a lot of the time there at Unioto to throw in some various topics. But I did want to use a couple here this week. I'll throw one at you, Jeremy, and then Matt, I'll let you take another one because I think they're both right up your alley. One here says, talking about the email, talking about how I mentioned the defensive specialist being in the MVP race. And Jeremy, I was just interested to get your thoughts on this, and feel free to even stretch it outside of volleyball if you want. But whenever a sport has a specific award for a position, such as defensive specialist of the year, and in my list on the website, it's no surprise it's Elena Lytle. I thought that was pretty simple, but putting Elena into the MVP discussion too, if you wanted to look at her just in the overall rankings, just your thoughts on that. I guess you hear a lot of like Cy Young to MVP in Major League Baseball, or you hear different things of offense to defense in football and how that should be selected, and just your thoughts on that overall email.
Well, you know, there's always going to be debate. You know, a few years it's cut and dry and somebody's just head and shoulders above, but there's a lot of debate with that. We've talked player of the year versus MVP, and you know, I try to look at maybe three components. You know, who do you want to start your team with if you're just looking at the talent pool? Who are the best players at their position, and you know, do they make a considerable impact at multiple positions? And that's something in high school that's a bigger factor. So it is hard to compare it maybe to a college or professional sport where, you know, you don't have kids playing so many positions, whether it be baseball, softball, volleyball is another good example. Mm-hmm. And probably the most important to me is how does the individual equate their talent into team victories? And mm-hmm. it's really hard for me to consider unless you have just that unbelievable athlete that's clearly the best player in the league. You know, unless your team's right there, you know, at the top competing for the championship to the end, it's hard to, you know, just throw certain players in there just because they might be the top four or five, or they, you know, all things equal. Well, if all things are equal, you know, I want the best player from one of the better teams.
Well, I really like the way you're breaking that down there. I know on my list, I have Haley Carl, the MVP, Jess Rogers, Coach of the Year, and Elena Lytle, the Defensive Specialist of the Year. And really, I thought those three selections were not that hard to make. But again, fans, you can go on the website. What I do is I take the fact that there looks to be about 64 starters in SVC volleyball across the league when you consider teams using the Libro as well as maybe another hitter across the front row. And so what I do is I take three teams of eight. So I name 24 kids on my all-league team, and I get that number, as I said last year in an article, based on about what they honor in other sports such as basketball and so forth. So check that out and let me know what you think. Phone number listed there at the bottom of my article, 740-569-3254. Let your voice be heard on a voicemail message for us, and we'll get you here on SVC Sports Talk. But Matt, as I move on in the inbox, there was another one that caught my eye. This was actually from about a week and a half ago, and I know you and I have talked about this, so I know you have strong feelings on this, and I thought the fans would really enjoy hearing some of your take, especially as much as you're involved not just in coaching but some of the district boards that you serve on. It was a fair unfair email talking about the seating, and it was one SVC school that I won't name, but a particular fan was kind of upset with the way they thought maybe the SVC, this particular SVC team, was unfairly treated in the room, and it's kind of put them in a position now where the road's going to be pretty difficult. But it just got me thinking about something you and I've talked about in terms of some super sectionals and things like that. Just give the fans your feeling when it comes to fair, unfair on the seedings.
Well, I'll be honest. I mean, I could get on a pretty long kick in high soapbox, so to speak, on this, and I'll try to keep it, you know, as brief as I can. The only sport in Ohio High School Athletic Association that really doesn't have controversy surrounding it when it comes to their tournament selection process is football. I mean, if you think about it, football's the one. How many times do you ever really hear people complain about that? Well, we got ripped off because of this. Or, well, the computers are the computers. You know, it's based on a point system. It's black and white, cut and dry. At the end of the thing, you know who's in, you know who's out. I wish in a perfect world, and I think you and I talked about this, Shane, I really wish all the sports would have the computer involved in the ranking system to determine seeds. Now, I'm not suggesting, like football, not everybody gets in. I'm still suggesting everybody gets in the tournament in these other sports, volleyball, basketball, baseball, etc. But wouldn't it be nice, instead of going to these, any coach that's ever sat in one of those rooms and voted for a tournament, I guarantee if you've done it long enough, you've left there either mad enough to fight or seeing somebody else who's mad enough to fight. I'm just being honest. It's one of the – it can become one of the shadier places you've been at when the voting starts in there, because everybody's jockeying for position, trying to, you know, how can I slide into this spot or whatnot. Wouldn't it be nice if the computer just ranked you on your strength of schedule? You know, hey, you've won this many games against this caliber of competition. You'll be the two seed in this sectional, you know, and that's where you'll be ranked. You know, now I think there's probably some factors that make that tough, you know, to do in the other sports. Football's a once a week sport. It's easy to keep track of who beat who. And, you know, you get into volleyball, and you're playing at all different times. But I'm just using that as an example. Mm-hmm. I think a more likely solution would be a super sectional where you seed everybody district wide, and you don't know until after the draw what site you'll be playing at. If there's 33 teams in Division III or whatever, you're going to seed those teams 1 through 33. You know, you're going to keep your top seeds separated, and the rest of the teams are going to be able to choose where they go on the board almost like the old pill process when you used to draw pills. Mm-hmm. But now it'll be based on, instead of blind luck, actually what kind of season you had. If you're the 17th seed, then that's where you'll get to select. It's almost like a draft. That's where you'll get to draft your position on the board. You know, there's been a lot of reasons why the Southeast District Board said they can't go to this. I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's anything standing in the way of it. Other districts do it, and it's proven to work. I think our district could do it too. And I think if they did, you would see a better competitive balance. Now, if you look at volleyball this year, and I think we talked about this, Jeremy, SVC got lucky. I mean, really, that everybody sort of split up, you know. But that doesn't always happen that way. You know, what happens if you end up getting jammed in there and have to beat up on each other earlier in the tournament? And that's where the super section would come into play. I think volleyball this year, most teams got lucky. But you take a Paint Valley or somebody like that in Division IV, they go into a room with a bunch of these schools from a smaller league that probably don't play the same caliber of competition they have, and maybe they don't get a fair shake as you'd want. So I just think the super sectional right now would be the way to go where you seed district-wide.
Well, it's all good stuff. And again, obviously, it's something just about every high school sports fan has an opinion on, because your teams are influenced by it every year. So that's really good stuff. Hope to get some feedback from the fans on that. Well, fans, if all the uncertainty of football and volleyball is too much for you to handle this year, let me offer you a little SVC normalcy on the other side of the break. Very impressed with the bump choice there, Bruce. We haven't commented on that nearly enough this year so far. That one caught me off guard there a little bit, got me bouncing here a little bit in the seat. And SBC fans, as I promised you here on this side of the break, if all the craziness of football and volleyball has been way too much for you to handle throughout the fall, cross country always seems to have a way of giving us a little normalcy. And the Uniota Varsity boys, I don't have that in front of me. I want to say 13th straight. Jeremy, can you help me on that by any chance? I want to say 13 straight years now, SVC champions. Zane Trace girls, this third or fourth year in a row. But nonetheless, obviously, when it comes to the running sports, Uniota on the boys' side, Zane Trace girls, just dominant. Uniota takes both boys and girls in the junior high, by the way. Check out our junior high page. You'll get all those results. Individually, Kane Dixon of Piketon's your individual champion. Kim Wolf of Zane Trace, congratulations to them, as that would be their sports version of the player of the year. So obviously, quite an accomplishment there. But you know, Matt, I'll start with you here. The word dynasty can sometimes be thrown around too much in sports, but obviously with what Uniota Varsity boys are accomplishing here, they're starting to come into that play, you know, be it cross country, track. When you think of an Adena volleyball run or even what Uniota golf's accomplished, maybe it's same, maybe it's different from different sports, and you maybe tell us why, but how do you view the dynasty, if you will, that the Uniota boys cross country team's on at this point?
Well, I mean, I don't care what sport it is. I mean, you go on a run like that, you know, of over a decade of consecutive championships, I think it's impressive. I mean, you got to give people their due credit. I mean, again, are there some sports that are more difficult to do that in? Sure, I don't think there's any question. I mean, to be fair, there are. I mean, cross country is a sport where, you know, some schools, there's a couple of schools that really don't even field a team hardly, or sure, if they do, it's just trying to piece it together. So maybe you don't have the same depth in that league as you do in a football league or a basketball league, where teams have been playing these sports for 50 years and you know, just have more kids involved and more tradition or whatever. But again, I don't really care. I mean, you still have to give a lot of credit to somebody who can, to a team that can run the table like that over an extended period of time. But again, I think, you know, if you're asking me honestly, you know, I think that what made Adena volleyball so incredible when they were doing it is volleyball was pretty well established in this league for a lot of that time. And you're talking about a team sport where you graduate kids and have to get new kids into the system. So that's impressive. But again, I think cross country golf, yeah, you have to have less kids really to be successful. But at the same time, You know, Uniota's done such a good job in golf and cross country of getting a bunch of kids out, having a lot of kids interested, and that's a credit to their coaches and the work they put in.
Well, Jeremy, let me give you two sides of a debate here, and maybe you tell me which one that you would define yourself on. I guess what I'm hearing is I talk to this, because this is something that really intrigues me. I talked about it to a lot of different SVC fans from multiple schools. You have a sport like volleyball. It's a 14-match grind. You got to go every year. You got to go on the road and go through those seven gyms and those seven crowds. And then on the track or across country side of things, you're going just that one day. So some people will say the 14-match grind or the 14-game grind is much more difficult, where other people tell you, we don't have the ability in cross country to slip up. We have one special day a year where we better bring our A game and beat the entire league. So I definitely see both sides of it. What would be your reaction to that?
Well, Shane, I really think that, you know, when you're talking about everything falling on one day and a championship date instead of a long season, you know, it really puts you know, a lot of pressure on the kids to be able to train so that they're peaking at the right time. And, you know, when you have to maximize your talents on that one day, I think that is a tougher challenge. You know, you can see volleyball teams, football teams that maybe play extremely well early in the season and build up a big lead, and then maybe they're not playing as well at the end. And that's just not an option if your championship's going to come at the end of the season.
Well, fans, this is an interesting topic that goes across every single sport, and every single school has some different things that they're obviously really good at or things that they have great tradition in. Let us know, 740-569-3254, what you think the most impressive dynasty, if you will, would be throughout the SVC. We will actually revisit this talk in another sport here in the next segment of the show, but before we get to that, we'll discuss how 2013 for one SVC athlete was a path of All-League to All-Ohio. Well, as we turn to golf, we talk Shania Irvin of Huntington is, again, that path of All-League to All-Ohio. Do want to let everybody know that the All-League golf has been made official. We have that on our website and have for some time. Obviously, as we say every year, all year, it's kind of unofficial the way we do it. But we usually have had pretty good success in getting those kids ranked on there. And those kids are correct, as you see them on the golf page. And I've even been able to add the honorable mention selections down there at the bottom of our Chris Good sponsored golf scoreboard. So check that out at the bottom of our golf page. And as we got into the postseason, as we said on last week's show, had a nice interview with Shania Irvin from Huntington, and she was playing. Also, Eli Makia Southeastern was in action. Eli had a very respectable weekend, shot a couple scores there in the low 80s, finished right in the mid 20s overall. Real solid career for Eli. And then Shania shot 76, as you heard on Shout-O-Matic on Friday afternoon. And then, as it again shouted on Saturday afternoon, struggled a little bit, but was able to, as she said in her interview last week, it's the first thing I thought of as her dad was describing her round to me, her ability to just gut it up and find a way to save those rounds that maybe she couldn't do a year or two away. She shoots the 81, and that 157 total is good enough for 10th overall, which gives her an All-Ohio finish. So obviously congratulations to her on an incredible showing. You know, Matt, I know you were out on the golf course Saturday afternoon. I was trying to get a feel. I think you were even in the Columbus area, which makes this even better. From Friday to Saturday, it just seemed like if I were to be out on the golf course, the conditions would have been maybe a little bit different. How would you describe the playing conditions when you were out there playing Saturday?
Well, where I was at, I thought they were pretty nice, really. You know, wasn't a lot of wind. I mean, there was occasionally maybe a one-club wind, but you know, this time of year, and when you start talking weather, you're probably asking the wrong guy here. Jeremy's our resident meteorologist. Typically, I usually call him when I need some. Hey, what's it going to do today? But I, you know, Jeremy and I've talked about it. We've talked about it on the show. I'm telling you, for this time of year and for state tournament golf, I mean, the weather was phenomenal. Really, I mean, you talked to some kids in the past that have went up there and played in 40 degrees and wet. And, you know, it was really, I mean, these kids really caught a break on it for this time of year, I think.
Well, Jeremy, I really wanted to get your take on something that impacts the SVC and the OHSAA. You know, Matt and I have talked about this on past shows, and I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on this. One of the things that maybe from the SVC to the state tournament would be the number of kids playing. Obviously, Uniota has a huge advantage in the league because of their ability and their fifth and sixth men every year in the league to get quality scoring. And as they get to the tournament, I've always said one of the things that hurts them, and I guess I said this in defense of my high school coach because I've had some people ask, why is Uniota and Coach Drummond and the program never been able to get over the postseason hump, they'll call it. And I think in fairness to them, I think where they really level out a little bit is when they go to playing just five in the postseason, and it really starts to level out. So let's be honest. A lot of high school teams, when they drop that sixth man, it's a kid that probably isn't capable of shooting the type of score that it would take to win a sectional or a district to advance to the state. And when they're at the state level, definitely probably couldn't play at a level to count. So, and Uniota obviously has that. Wanted to get your thoughts on maybe going to just five in the league and if you think that would be a negative or if there's open some routes up for some other positives. Your thoughts on that?
Well, if you look at pros and cons, I suppose, you know, you do expect the tournament to bring a different set of circumstances and a different atmosphere. And, you know, I don't know of any leagues that play it that way, but it is a good question. Some of the benefits could be, you know, promoting JV teams, you know. A lot of our schools and a lot of smaller schools are going to have difficulty fielding 12 players, you know, for their teams to have a JV and a varsity. But, you know, if you cut that back, you know, and you have eight kids, maybe it gives you a chance to go 5-3, get some more kids involved, maybe get more girls involved, which could be a benefit as you've seen the success of the female golfers in the SVC over the recent years. So, you know, I can see it both ways, and anything that promotes sports and promotes involvement, you know, I would view as a positive.
Well, it just kind of goes with our ongoing discussion. I know we talked, Matt and Jeremy talked about playing it down, you know, not, you know, being able to roll the ball at all or touch the ball and how that can make it a little bit tougher. We talked about the courses getting tougher as they move on in our area. And it's just kind of another thing in our series of how we can take SVC, which is a pretty good golf league, and just trying to help it move forward into the future. So those are all some good points. And fans, if you have anything to add to that, just throw it in the inbox there on the phone message at 740-569-3254, and the three of us will definitely respond to it. Well, guys, congrats to the golfers and that made all league, including Shania and Eli for the postseason run. And guys, let's go ahead at this time and use this opportunity to speed it up a little. We'll go to the 2-minute drill. Jeremy first, Matt in the middle, and I'll finish. Let's go to the hurry-up offense.
SVC volleyball teams posted a 42-9 out-of-conference record during the regular season. What will be the league's record during the sectional tournament?
Well, I really think each team will win their first-round game, and I look for at least five sectional champions, so I'm going to go with 10-3.
Yeah, I think, you know, I went back and forth between 10-3 and 11-2. I guess being optimistic, I'm going to go with the 11-2. Being the slowest, not the sharpest tool in this SVC Sports Talk shed, I misread the question. And at first thought we were looking at the whole tournament. So just for the record, I thought 17-8 for the entire tournament for SVC schools. I think we may see as many as... And we may see three or four teams in the regionals if this thing works out just right.
Guys, I'm right with you. All eight teams should win their first round matchup. And as we get into that second round, I want to say 11-2. I really think Zane Trace is going to have their hands full at Athens. Athens, very, very talented. The Uniota score of the weekend concerns me a little bit. Paint Valley going on the road on a Saturday all the way down to North Adams concerns me a little bit, but optimistic, I'd want to say 11-2. If I had to give my better judgment, I would say 10-3.
We talked earlier about the dominant cross-country programs over the past decade.
But what jumped out at you on the website concerning this year's league championship meet?
Well, I'm looking through the boys and seeing Richter, Newton, Isaac Dixon, and McWhorter. And then the other 16 are underclassmen. So when you consider in the top 20, that 16 of those young men will be coming back, that definitely gets my attention.
Well, on the girls' side, guys, you notice that when you look at the top 9 finishers, I think 6 schools were represented. And if you go as far as 15, then I think you have every school represented. So it looks like on the girls' side that at least, you know, pretty much every school has a really good runner, and it maybe eventually you'll start to see a little more parity.
Well, you both make great points there, Jeremy. I like what you're talking about on the one side, and then Matt, as I look at the list, I follow exactly what you're saying there with Wright, a freshman at Huntington, and the Clarkson girl there at Adena to go with the long list of the Uniota Zane Trace runners. Guys, I'll throw a little love to junior high wise. I look at the junior high races, which if you scroll on down that page, you'll see I see a little bit maybe of the rich getting richer. You just see such depth and talent with Zane Trace and Uniota and some of these running sports. I'd even throw Westfall in there maybe a little bit, but you see a lot of the same things that Matt and Jeremy are talking about in terms of some of the depth at other schools in terms of individual runners. But I guess it kind of goes back to our golf discussion of if it takes 5 to win in terms of a team competition. So when I look junior high, I see the rich getting richer in years to come.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you when you heard the final score of the Westfall Paint Valley football game? And how does this upset change your outlook for the remainder of the SVC football season?
Well, there'll be no halves for me on this one. I can't say that I was floored, but definitely a 9, especially after seeing both teams play. I was a little surprised. I guess if I would have expected a Westfall win, I would have told you the score would have probably been, 45-42 or something, in that range. As far as the outlook, it certainly makes things more interesting. I think it's very likely that we could have at least a tie, if not a 3-way tie, for a championship.
Yeah, I'll go with a 10 on this. I was really surprised, but I think Jeremy hit it on the head. I was partly surprised because of how the game shook out. I would have never thought it would have been, a situation where, Westfall, after giving up a bunch of points the week before to Uniota, turns around and is able to hold Paint Valley, to 12 points. That's the part of it that surprised me a lot. I touched on this earlier. For me, I still think Paint Valley is a team that can win this conference and maybe even win it outright. Obviously, you don't control your own destiny in football. When you get beat head to head with the team you're tied with, you have to hope for a little bit of help there. But I think there's a lot of, there's 3 weeks of and some interesting football to be played. I still think Paint Valley can right the ship and win those 3 and put the pressure on those other 2 teams around the table. So I still think Paint Valley, this loss doesn't have to, destroy any of the goals they had going in.
Well, Jeremy won't like my half point here, but I'm going to go with I'm going to go 9.5, and here's why. I guess the week before, I'm standing there at the fence, and I'm watching Westfall and Uniota, and I'm watching Uniota's offense just explode over the last 2.5 quarters of that particular game, and I got to thinking, man, Paint Valley's offense, if they really execute, could really put up a big number. So on that point, I'd have been more to 10. But as the week went on and I started to talk to different people about the matchup of Uniota Westfall, I realized that Paint Valley had not beaten Westfall in about a decade. And I started to understand that, man, I know what I saw with Uniota, but I also know that I saw Westfall very, very athletic. They have some skilled kids that can really do some things. And I think that's just what happened. You throw in Paint Valley maybe not handling some situations very well, lost their composure at times, and left their team shorthanded. And as you move forward into the second half, Westfall made some plays, and a lot of credit to them. So I'd go about a 9.5.
Uniota's junior varsity volleyball team finished 13-1 this season, winning the league by 1 game over Huntington and 2 games over Adena. How much do you pay attention to JV results when looking at next year?
Well, I'm looking at the rosters of those three teams, and Adina nor Unyeta have much room for next year as far as players being able to move up unless they can really make strides and bump some people out. However, it should be a strong indication, I think, for Huntington, you know, a team that finished below 500 in the league. There's going to be a few more opportunities for those girls to jump in and be contributors and maybe fill some needs that bump the Lady Huntsmen up a few spots in the standing next season.
Yeah, this probably goes a little bit along the lines of what Jeremy's saying. I don't pay a lot of attention to JV results, you know, if I'm just making a general statement across the board, especially in girls' sports. Because we've talked about it before, it seems, you know, really talented freshmen usually jump right in there and contribute right away at the varsity level. And, you know, in girls' sports, it seems especially that younger players make major contributions, freshmen and sophomores across the board. So a lot of times, you know, a lot of those kids on JV, you know, are there because they're just not ready yet. You don't know what type of improvement they're going to make from now to then. Like Jeremy said, you know, they can, and they can bump some people off. But I just think in the girls' sports, it's maybe a little less of an indicator.
You guys are right on with this question. I guess my answer to it would be it's one of the things I look at. The girls, the boys debate's a very good one. Sport to sport is a good debate. I know for the longest time when Adina was in their dynasty run, that you may have a kid that was a very good player on JV that was just waiting their turn to play varsity as a senior. At the same time, you know, Jeremy talked about this here. When you look at this Unyeta group as sophomores and now juniors at the varsity level, and Unyeta's junior varsity's won the league 2 years in a row, you still wonder where's the openings in next year's roster. So I've always felt like the enrollment in the bigger schools can really show up at 7th, 8th, freshmen in the sports that have freshman teams, and then JV. So a lot of times the records can be a little bit misleading, but I think the player development and the different vision of the programs. This was actually a question, guys, that came from the email. It was built off of an email. I think this would be a topic if the fans are interested in it. Let us know, because I think this could be a segment in itself in the show. Well, fans, join us on Facebook, Twitter, Shout-O-Matic. You obviously had your golf updates over the weekend as well as cross country. You know, Jeremy was talking about the different ways to get scores and things like that on a Friday. If you follow me on the Facebook and Twitter, each time I post a Shout-O-Matic, that will come right up on your Twitter or Facebook. All you have to do is hit play and you can listen to that. And I'll usually give you some details on how the touchdowns are being scored and what are the updates, and as well as the other sports such as golf and cross country. So all sorts of things to check out on the website. Make sure, as I said earlier, you look at the junior high page. We're into the 8th grade volleyball tournament now. Three, four really good teams, it sounds like, in the 8th grade. So looking forward to the consolation championship later in the week. The JV is the one question mentioned. Volleyball's on there, as well as some football. And then the soccer brackets. First year for Southeastern in the tournament. And then obviously Unyeta Zane Trace, and both boys and girls always do extremely well there. So we're looking forward to following them along the tournament trail. So, well, guys, as we always do, as we take a final look into the inbox, I continue to get multiple basketball emails. And here's what's so funny about them. I probably had two or three this week alone. And they don't even have specific questions. They just want us to talk about basketball. They just want basketball to get here. And it kind of got me thinking, you know, we're probably a lot of the same way. And Matt, I know you well enough as a coach that this time of the year, the mindset starts to turn it up a notch. And it's a busier time than most people think for a head coach. I know that. And just share with the fans a little bit as we hit, you know, right around mid-October here, and you're about 2 to 3 weeks away from really getting it going, just kind of some of the things that go through a coach's mind.
Well, it does become a busy time of year because you get into your, you know, we'll be starting conditioning this week, matter of fact, and so you start to put together your strength and conditioning program for the next 3 weeks and what you want to accomplish with that. And then really between now and the 1st of November, you know, I'll have my, obviously, gym schedule and practice schedule laid out, but more specifically, I'll have you know, the entire month of November laid out in terms of by this date I want to have this in, and by this date I want to have this in, and then we scrimmage here. And so there's so much just logistical stuff and just planning right now that it can be a little bit just mentally overwhelming at times. You're sitting around thinking about it a lot, and you're doing a lot of jotting notes down on paper. So it's just that time of year. But at the same time, it's kind of, you're kind of, as a coach, getting your batteries recharged, so to speak. You've had your downtime, you've had your relaxation time, and now it's getting to be that time again. So, but yeah, it's a hectic time of year.
Jeremy, I wanted to get your take on this. This is another thing that came to my mind as we get into the playoffs in football. That's something I dealt with as a head coach at Paint Valley with that great football program. And, you know, we just talked tournament and volleyball. We could have 3-4 teams still playing well into November. What's the biggest obstacle for basketball players' teams to overcome in the preseason when this happens?
Well, I think the main thing is – And as a coach, you want to talk to your kids that are maybe in those sports come tournament time, but you want to encourage them. But you really want to talk to the kids that you have that are getting anxious, maybe bugging the other players, like, man, it's time to get ready for basketball. You just need to hurry up and get done with your season so we can, you know, have some fun at basketball, whatever. You want your school to support your teams in the tournament. You want your players to be teammates regardless if they're in the same sport at the same time. And you know, I'm just really big on that and that commitment to finishing what you've started and really having that commitment to the tournament run and letting your kids see that. You know, I think if you model that as a coach, then you really get your kids excited about having tournament success and making it a big deal and making it an expectation.
Well, Matt, I know when I was dealing with high school kids that a lot of times playoff football becomes so physical. When you get kids into 12, 13, 14 weeks, even your better football teams, young men just aren't ready physically for that, and you can really have a lingering effect. What's the responsibility of let's just use basketball since that's what we're talking about here, from the fall to winter, what's your responsibility as a coach? Let's say you had a playoff team in football play 12 weeks of football, and you're already overlapped into practice, and so you're in a hurry to get them in the gym. What's your responsibility to help them make that transition without putting their body in jeopardy of injury?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. It becomes even more of a factor now with the way it's set up this year, to where the boys' first official practice date is actually the last football game of the year. It's week 10, Friday night, November 1st. I've never seen that before. I don't know how the OHSA expected us on week 10, you know, to go ahead and start practice that afternoon. But that's the way they got it set up.
Midnight madness.
I mean, literally. It's going to be maddening.
They can just run it and practice, you're saying.
Right. You know, tell those football guys, get those pads off, get in the gym. No, I think as a coach, you have to coach with the big picture in mind. Obviously, that's important. And you know, if you have these kids coming out of football, you have to give them a little bit of time to recoup. Although, you just can't give them a week off probably this year. Really, probably what you have to do is bring them in and say, we're not going to put you through every drill physically. We're going to try to get the ball in your hands a little bit, do some things. But we want you here mentally to see what we're putting in, to see what we're getting started. So you have to kind of balance that, and I think give those football kids, you know, a little bit of time to recoup. It's really going to be hard on the teams that win, say, two playoff games.
Sure.
You know, can you imagine a team winning two playoff games and being, November, what would that be, about 17th or 18th? Let's say they get, if they win two, they're still playing on the third weekend of Thanksgiving, sure. Or third weekend of November, which is not Thanksgiving, I guess, this year.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's those teams, I don't know how they do it. I haven't had to face that situation yet where the school I'm at, but there are some coaches that have to deal with that. And I know some of those schools that are anticipating that try to back their non-league schedules up in basketball to where they're not playing. You know, at least they're not playing maybe till the second week of December to try to compensate for that a little bit. But it's tough.
I'd be interested to see, guys, you know, some opinions, what people think. I know last year, just because I know some people involved at Clinton Massey, and they won a state championship in football, They actually moved all their basketball games back 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I know at certain schools like Bishop Hartley, they're because they're used to playing in the playoffs, they don't even schedule the first 2 weeks of basketball. How different teams approach that, and how you feel, you know, when a school contacts you, hey, can we move a game back? You know, I'm sure people have a lot of different opinions on that, how they let, you know, one sport affect everybody else in your conference or on your schedule.
Right.
Well, you know, we had that last year, Jeremy, with Athens in our league, where we were supposed to play them the first weekend, I guess the second weekend of basketball, and they had made a football run. I don't remember. Do you remember they won one or two? I think they might have won two last year.
They did win two.
And, I mean, they're phenomenal in football. They really are. They're really phenomenal about every sport right now. But they called us and said, hey, you know, and they called us well in advance. If this happens, we anticipate this happening, can we go ahead and move our game? And it was our home game. You know, we did it. We moved it. And a lot of people were like, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that. You catch them when they're not ready. And I just didn't feel right about it, you know. Just, you know, yeah, you're always looking for an advantage, but you don't want that type of advantage. You know what I mean? You know, let's be fair to kids and let's play them straight up later in the year and may the best team win, you know. And fortunately for us, we were able to win that later in the year. But yeah, it, when you get that phone call from another league school, we handled it that way. But I don't know that every school would, and I don't know that every school would feel like they could. You know, maybe for whatever reason they need to play that game right then. So it really, let me ask you this. Should a league have a policy? I mean, because you can control your non-league schedule. You can just say, hey, we're used to making the playoffs. We're going to schedule those later. But should a league have a policy on that?
Right.
Well, I guess I would throw this out to either one of you. I can remember specifically talking to Lee Snyder about the time I first started in on the website and when I did some writing for JJ Huddle. Lee Snyder, for those SVC fans that don't remember, is a really, really good girls basketball coach in our league, one of the best in the last 20 years, state champion coach. And he was talking to me about how when Adina would make the long run in volleyball, the schedule rotation just happened to have Adina Uniota in girls basketball early in the year. And you could really see the difference because at that particular time, 3, 4, 5 key pieces on the volleyball team were also the Dina girls basketball, where Uniota had a situation where a lot of their main players did not play volleyball. And it probably did show up. And Coach Snyder never would really use it as an excuse, but you could just tell in talking to him that he definitely thought that this was an obstacle to overcome. So I guess there may not be a perfect solution, but I mean, Jeremy, I'd at least throw this out to you. I mean, maybe we'd have to see basketball rosters to say for sure, but do you anticipate if we do get 3, 4 volleyball teams this year into the regional like we've predicted, can that impact the, say, the first 2, 3 nights of SVC play in basketball?
Oh, well, I think so. I mean, I definitely think it does. Now, and Matt can attest to this, it's a huge benefit when you have returning kids and
absolutely.
You've been out of school for a few years. I mean, if you're – I mean, you look at it this way. If you're a first-year coach, you know, and you're waiting on those players and you got a lot of stuff to put in, that becomes a lot bigger deal than if you've been there for 10 years and your kids are, you know, are all returning players.
Sure, that's a good point. Matt, real quick before we get out of here, any comment to finish that off on? Good basketball discussion this week.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, again, it'd be interesting to see if leagues have ever thought about having a policy, you know, and in terms of just saying, hey, if this happens in any sport, if someone's postseason goes to, say, the regional level, you know, the Sweet 16, you know, Final Eight level especially, will we automatically back games up? You know, it'd be interesting to see. It'd be hard to do, though, probably in sports like baseball where you have rainouts already and all that, and you only have a month to get your games in. But sure. But that might be something for another show. We could check with some leagues and see if they have any policies on those.
Well, guys, I want to thank our sponsors before we get out of here. Bolero, LCNB, YMCA, Good Health Chiropractic Center, Adina Sports Medicine, some really good stats pages this week with football and volleyball coaches updating those. And want to remind the fans again, next Saturday, that's October the 19th. So Saturday, right around 3:30, Jeremy and I will be on the air. We hope from Uniota High School, assuming that the Lady Shermans take care of first-round business. If not, let us know which game you'd like us to be at, because again, next week's show will be done with a live volleyball matchup. So Around 3:30, we'll be on the air. We'll start the game around 4, and then we'll stay on about a half hour after. Hope to have some player interviews, as well as taking the normal stuff for the show to talk about whatever it is you, the fans, want us to talk about. So until next time, for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for Bruce Knox and the DBK Media Services, for Matt Combs, for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.